Welcome to Is Manifesting Bullshit podcast. I'm Cindy Wittemann and I'm your host. Have you ever wondered if manifesting is just a bunch of nonsense? Join me as I embark on a journey to uncover the truth behind this age-old question. In each episode, I'll dive deep into the world of manifestation, interviewing experts, skeptics, and individuals with real-life manifesting experiences. Together, we'll seek to separate fact from fiction and shed light on the mysteries of the mind's power. Tune in and discover whether manifesting is indeed a powerful tool or just a load of BS. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Is Manifesting Bullshit? Go ahead, introduce yourself to the audience. Tell them where you're from. Tell them what you're all about.
Yeah. So, hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. I'm Anna Abraham. I'm a founder of the Emotion Memory Pattern Release Method and its unique framework, 27 Dimensions of Being. And it all stemmed from the need to really live free from the past and free from the fears of the future. So that's who I am. And I live in Australia, specifically Adelaide.
Wow. So you're quite a bit away from us here. We're in San Antonio, Texas.
All right.
Yes. Well, I'm super excited to dive in and hear your perspective on manifesting. So do you believe that manifesting is indeed a lifelong tool or is it just a load of BS?
Yeah, I loved your title and I was wondering, did I put the title in there? No, it's not. Yeah. So I think we are constantly manifesting all the time. And it's almost like if somebody is saying breathing, right? So you have to learn how to breathe properly, but we are born with the faculty to breathe. So I would say manifesting is, the way you look at it, I think makes it a BS because what you see, you hold, and then what you see in your mind, you create, good or bad. Mind has no distinction. So it's about using this tool wisely to create the right things for you. I think that's where the manifestation begins and ends for me.
Ah, that makes great sense. So have you always been a believer in manifesting or do you think that it's something that kind of came to you later on?
I think we are all born with this natural gift of creating and manifesting because when I drive around, I look at the shops, I watch these big buildings and I watch people, how they are. Everybody is constantly creating. Everybody is constantly manifesting. But for some reason, when we forget, because once we understand the mind is just not what you see externally with all your senses. It is also what you see internally with your internal senses. As a humanity, I think what we forgot is our ability to see internally with our senses inwards. We forgot that. And because of that, we focus too much on external and we think what we see outside is manifestation. So I think as a result of that, this manifestation has become a big thing, a word, a phrase, a buzzword. But I think we're always creating and I believed I was always doing it. So, you know, you don't think about oxygen because it's always there. I think from my very childhood, I had amazing experiences where I wanted something and I always got it in some form, not necessarily through the channels you expect. Like say you may expect as a child, your parents will give you, but amazingly it happens in all different forms and you don't know anything different. So you take it for granted. All right. So you ask and you get it. You don't have to ask a person. You just have to ask and you will get it. So that has been my belief always. So I never looked at it as a manifestation, as an outside view. However, in life, when situations take over, when life takes over, and when we start becoming very analytical and when we start reasoning things, then we want to see the source and the cause. And that's when this law of attraction came to my attention. And then I was thinking, what is this law of attraction that people are talking about? And that's when I tapped into it. And then I was thinking, why are you talking about it when you are already doing it? So that's where the law of attraction manifestation came into my when we make it a technique or a concept, we build structures and frameworks to it. Call it as surrender or submitting or accepting or being self-aware or non-judgmental. I think those are the fundamentals for religion too in those days. So just because we are giving it a new name does not take away the principles of the mind and body, because we still remain humans. Everybody has their own way. Like, you may feed your family with a different recipe than I do, but that does not stop us from feeding or cooking, isn't it? I think the manifestation has come up more as when people are crippled with fear, or when they think there is no future or this is the end of the world, then I think it somehow had to be dug out a word to give them some hope. Because when people are stuck or when they are suffering, or when their suffering is illusion, not necessarily the physical pains, but the mental agony that many of us go through in life. So in the process, I think manifestation is a hope to divert their attention from the darkness to something, a possibility. And in that process, I think manifestation is playing its role.
I do. And I think hope is a very powerful thing that people need. They need that feeling of hope. I've had people come up and say before that, you know, manifesting, they believe it works, but it just doesn't work for them. What would you tell somebody who's experiencing that?
Doing the kind of work I do, where we work a lot on the idea that in many ways we are the creators of everything that is happening around us. So going by that idea, when there is a deep-seated fear, or when there is a deep-seated doubt or a guilt for being rich, or a regret for being poor, or if the mind is playing any of those templates, no matter what you do in the form of manifestation or giving some totems or some names to animals or some meanings to the feathers, it does not work, because fundamentally there is a conflict. There is a conflict with a deep-rooted belief of yours that, say, for some it can be, oh, being rich means you will misuse your power. So though they are earning and though they are in that area where they can make money, they will never be rich enough, because the fundamental idea will be pulling them down, and that becomes their own block. So in that process, we cannot view manifestation as just a concept on its own. We have to use an element of self-inquiry and understanding, where is this stemming from? The need to manifest most often stems from scarcity or lack. It does not stem from an idea of abundance, isn't it? Because you're seeking manifestation because you believe you don't have something. So that itself breaks the concept of manifestation, because you have to be in a state of abundance or a state of goodness or a state of optimism to create something more optimistic. So that conflict will break them from manifesting. So if somebody is trying and not working, and manifestation is not working for them, then it's time to question their deep-rooted beliefs about prosperity, poverty, abundance. And some people, they don't like the word money, because money is cheap and prosperity is something spiritual. So it is important to question those fundamental ideas.
Wow. I don't know why that's never occurred to me before, but you're completely right. We are needing something, whether it be a new car or more money or a happier life. They're needing something. They're in that feeling of need, of scarcity, like you just said. And they're seeking something. And that would make sense why it doesn't really work that well when you're first starting out for some people. But yet the people who have started it and started doing it, it works so well. That makes perfect sense. I don't know why that's never occurred to me before. Well said.
Yeah. And also, I think what is important is at the time of manifestation, when the first time when we are beginning, that's where the role of, abstract, because we are very much in the logical abstract. We are very much in the logical, reasoning, analytical world. But also we have to understand there is an abstract world. Just like, you don't know where your oxygen or air is totally coming from or generated, but you breathe, you depend on it. Your heart beats. You don't know exactly how it is happening, but you depend on it. You surrender to that idea, isn't it? You don't question the why. Why am I breathing? How can I do it? How is my heart beating? We don't question them, do we? So we just accept them. We surrender to the idea of not knowing how it's going to happen. So as a beginner who is at least seeking something and who wants to make a shift or a change in their lives, the very idea of accepting, okay, there may be something, let it happen. So letting go of that control is very important when somebody is trying to get introduced to this idea, or it's on, I won't say get introduced, rediscovering their ability to manifest or to create. I think that a level of acceptance or surrender is important as a beginner, which is, it's an oxymoron, because when you're in scarce mindset or a lack mindset, that's the last thing you will do.
And then also another component of it is taking action. You want to talk to the audience a little bit about how pivotal it is to take action whenever you're trying to manifest something that you desire?
Yeah, so that's a good one. Thank you, Cindy, for bringing it up, actually, because I think there are people who believe that only mind, thinking, reasoning, or logical, that's where everything will work for one category of people. And there are other category of people who are all about doing. They can almost shy away from being a thinker, and they just want to do. And there are some people, the third category, who believes everything is energy and they only focus on energy. So that's where they focus on. But what is important is to bring these mind, body and energy together and to work with it in balance. Because a thinker alone cannot do something, and the doer alone cannot really build something. So it is, but there's both these three components, mind, body and energy, they are within us. So we have to bring that balance of mind. So you think about something and you actually have to do something about it, because energy needs movement. Energy needs action. A thought, an idea, breath, all of these come together. Only then you can really create something. It's as simple as, I want to lose weight. I don't do anything about it. I'm not moving my body. I'm not taking action. I'll never lose that weight, isn't it? And I can get depressed, I can get sad, I can say it is not working, I'm doing everything. So it's about being consistent with whatever practice that you're taking and being committed to it if you really want it. So that's the discipline in action, and to continuously hit it to break that wall of limitation or of that limited mindset. So mind alone does not work on its own. And again, in the big scheme of things, mind is enough. In the big scheme of things, your body is having enormous potential that your mind cannot even comprehend. But as humans who didn't really use this equipment so well, we have to focus on bringing the mind, action, and energy together, these three things together, which can be as simple as, if you're really after wanting something, it's as simple as a consistent practice. Every day, if your manifestation is about seeing something, spend that 5 minutes in really seeing that in your mind and put a strategy in place, because a thought without a strategy and execution will never be done. So we see it, and then there is time to take action, and then there is a strategy in place that you have to put it to actually make it happen on one plane.
If somebody's struggling with, you know, coming up with that plan, like you just said, you know, let's go with what you said about losing weight. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's really easy to say, I want to lose weight. I really want that. And maybe there you have a goal. But sometimes putting that into action and taking the steps that are necessary to do that, to create that goal, to finish that goal, to finalize that goal, can be very difficult. Do you have any tips for somebody to kind of help keep them motivated throughout the process of manifesting or trying to accomplish a goal that they're trying to achieve?
Yeah. So I think the one simple technique that I constantly teach to my students and I work with my clients is about understanding these three primary qualities of every human being, which is universal. So the universal qualities are a person who likes to be sedentary, who likes to be more quiet and slow. And there is a person who always wants to be on the go. They want to act. They have to be taking decisions. They are impulsive. They need communication. So that's the second category. The third category is where they are in balance. They are in balance between being the go and achieving, and also ability to sit and relax, the third category. So what is important constantly is to be mindful about, who am I being in this moment right now? Working on your polarity, where you're flipping it with your own conscious will. So say if I'm sitting and watching TV, watching TV can be a great thing to relax, no problem. But if you question, am I doing this because of my laziness or am I being in balance and doing it? If your answer is no, you're trying to be lazy, flip it, make that conscious choice and consciously do the opposite and act, do something, move at that point of time. And if you're a continuous go, go, go person, and if you're racing, anxious, anxiety, these are all the classic symptoms of a go, go, go person, very action-oriented person. So in that moment, just take a pause and ask, who am I being in this moment? Am I being lazy or very active or am I in balance? That simple question. And if you can take a different, make a different choice and take that step, that will put you into balance. That will help us in a, because there is no magic pill to this. It's about consciously being aware of your choices. So that's why I call it, it's a consistent conscious choice all the time. But just these three questions, am I being slow? Am I being overactive? Or am I in balance? If we can bring our awareness to it, then we can take action and work with it.
Very practical steps. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. Just very easy to digest and just be conscious about what you're doing. It's okay to sometimes sit on the couch and watch TV. It's okay to sometimes take action time after time and do. But there's also a balance, like you said, and to be conscious of which one you're acting in at every moment is really important. I like how you shared that.
Because we know our body and mind, they're constantly talking to us. The rush in our chest or the tightness we hold the steering wheel or the busyness in the head that you snap quickly, your body is constantly telling you, you're in this overactive mode, you're in this sedentary mode. And if you feel sad and depressed, you know you're working in this slow mode. If you're getting anxious, angry, craving for spicy foods, you know you're in this overactive mode. So it's about constantly pulling these threads into that balance in every moment of time, because action is equally bad as inaction, and inaction is equally good as action. So I think it's the balance that we have to strive for with this consistent conscious choice.
Yes. And if you're feeling like stressed and anxiety and you're having that type of emotional response to something, sometimes you get kind of caught up in that. It's kind of hard to get out of. Do you have any tips for the audience who's listening about how they could maybe transition out of that a little quicker than they normally do?
Easiest thing is to always have a pause. Pause. That's all. Pause. And again, one simple thing to always, always remember is not to fall into the trap of the mind or the trap of the body, but be an observer. But that is a tool that we develop with practice, and then it will help you naturally. So when you are about to fall into this spiral of negative emotions and you're about to drown into it, if you can pause and look at it and say, like, look at your mind as a different entity, look at your body as a different entity, and almost like a pet. And if you can look at the mind and say, hey, wait a minute, why are you rushing into it? Stop, a pause. Or if your body is getting into this overactive mode, you're feeling these knots in your tummy or nauseatic, hey, wait a minute, body, what are you doing there? So if you can start looking at your body and mind as different entities and start taking care of them, that's the beginning. So at least you don't fall into these anxiety triggers or panic attacks or the worries or sadness. They're all the game of the mind and the body. And it's your if we are not able to see them as two different entities, like two different pets that you have to tame, then you get carried away by them instead of you taking charge and walking your dog.
Obviously, you're very skilled in this field, and we can definitely tell that you know exactly what you're talking about. If the audience wanted to know more about you and all you do, maybe get involved, maybe seek out your services, can you give them all the details as to where they can find you, they can locate you, and they can get involved with you?
Sure. Thank you, Cindy. So, yes, if you want to know more about my work and who I am, what I do, you can visit the website www.manaabraham.com. And if you are all about just bringing that little bit of balance into your own lives, there is a daily practice that every morning at late time, 6 a.m. and PST, 6 a.m. That is a daily practice in the morning. It's free. If you jump onto manaabraham.com and check for daily practice, you can join in for free. And that happens Monday to Saturday, 6 a.m. to 6:45 a.m. Whether you're in Australia or in US, you have two different time zones.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. Would you mind spelling out your name for the audience so that they can write it down?
Sure. So it's MA for Apple, N for New York, N for New York, A for Apple, that is Manna, and Abraham, A for Apple, B for Boy, R for Rodeo, A for Apple, H for Houston, A for Apple, M for Madrid, MannaAbraham.com.
Would you mind leaving us with some parting words?
It is important to live fearlessly. And in order to live fearlessly, it is important to really realize who you are and what's your potential. Because if you take away the limitations, your potential is huge and immense. But what you need is to take that time to realize your potential, that you can get many things done without actually doing. But till that point of time, take action, but also focus on understanding who you are and what is your potential.
Beautiful. Very well said. All right, everybody, she gave you all the details as to where you can find her and seek out her services. And if anybody is interested in buying our international best-selling book, Is Manifesting Bullshit?, you can get that copy on our website at cfviews.com. I will personally send you an autographed copy if you order it there. Otherwise, you can order it anywhere books are sold. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Is Manifesting Bullshit? And we'll see you next week.